You see, George, you've really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it all away? You recognize that line? It's from It's a Wonderful Life. It was what Clarence said to George Bailey. Some of the other lines from that movie are, strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? That's from It's a Wonderful Life, as you probably know by now and are irritated with. It's my favorite movie. But that movie tells a story, I think it's a great story, about how a man who didn't even like his hometown, he hated that crummy little town, but yet he transformed that whole town. He had an impact no one realized, especially George himself. And we could never know what George's motivation was, but we know, because, you know, he's a fictional character, but we can know what the motivation was for Frank Capra, who made the movie. Why would he make it? Frank Capra read something somewhere, and he had this idea, and he was looking for a story that would help him illustrate that idea. And so he found a story, and it became the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. But what was it that he read that was behind that? We're going to read that this morning, if that's okay. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Here is the passage. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In this same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. That's what Frank Capra read. And when he read that, he said, that's a powerful thing. How can I illustrate that? Here's the thing. I don't know whether you know that, this or not. You're making a movie. Did you know that? You're making a movie of your life. It's going to play in heaven, and it's called Your Real Life. And you're making a movie. You're living it out moment by moment, day by day. We don't have lines that we rehearse. God doesn't tell us what's going to happen tomorrow when we go over our lines. There's something cool about that. We know, oh, when the boss asks, hey, why isn't this report done? We have this answer already ready to go. But we are making a movie of our life, and that's one of the cool things about heaven, is that we get to see the impact of our lives. You don't know the impact that you've had in your life. You don't know the impact you can have with your life. We'll find that out when that movie plays in heaven. And we'll find out that it's been what? Thank you, Scott. Yes. So, let me back up a little bit and take a running start. 2 weeks ago, we took a look at how to connect with broken people and by grace and truth. And so it was like, well, what does it look like? What does grace look like? And so last week, we took a look at how do we build a bridge? And we looked at Jesus and his conversation with the woman at the well and how he slowly worked through that process. And so the idea of building a bridge you may have walked away from last week and said, that's a great theory, Pastor, but how do I do that? How do I build a bridge? And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to build a bridge. And for those of you who are about my age, you'll remember this. What time is it? Okay, if you're fans of Tim Allen, what time is it? It's tool time, and that's actually the message title. Tool time. This is tool time. So we're going to take a look at some tools. Begin a bridge. How do you begin a bridge? Number one tool is laughter. You can build a bridge. If you're in a tense environment and things are tense, you can bring that tension down with laughter. And you don't have to be a comedian. And I'm going to share some things that I've learned. You can adapt them to your life. You don't have to use the same thing. But one line I used, and this was kind of a wake-up to me, the impact I can have on somebody else's life. I was checking out, this was probably 15 to 20 years ago, I was checking out at a Walmart, and the cashier said, "Would you like your milk in a bag?" Yes, I went there. And I said, "No, thank you. You can leave it in a jug. It spills out if you put it in the bag." You could have literally counted to 10, and then she laughed. But here's the amazing thing. She got done laughing, and she goes, "Oh, I needed that. Now I can make it through the rest of my shift." And that was my wake-up call. It was like, whoa. So just something little and stupid like that, we can all admit, I'll admit that was stupid, right? But something like that was helpful to this cashier. And so I looked for opportunities to do that. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was at Lassus, and if you know me, you know this. Somebody, she asked me, I went up to pay for gas or something, and she said, "How are you?" And I did this. I put my fingers on my wrist to see if I had a pulse. And she laughed, and it was like, I don't know if she's related to that other cashier from 15 years ago, but she said the same exact thing. "Oh, thank you." She laughed. "I needed that. Now I can make it through the rest of my shift." And so that's important. I learned this poem a long time ago. There are two kinds of people in the world today. Just two kinds of people, no more, I say. Not the good and the bad, for it is well understood that the good are half bad and the bad are half good. No, the two kinds of people in the world I mean are the ones that lift and the ones that lean. You have people in your life that are lifters. Like you see them and you are like, "Oh, I can't wait to talk to them because I know after our conversation, I'm going to feel better," right? Then you have other people that are leaners. And it's like, oh, you know, I don't know what you weigh when you start that conversation, but you weigh more afterwards because you're carrying part of their weight. And that's part of what we do, right? But laughter is an important part of what we do. I love to go to the same place. Somebody challenged me with this a long time ago. Go to the same gas station. Go to the same coffee shop. Go to the same places and learn the people's names and connect with them. And so I've done that. I get to know people around town that way. And I was at the Starbucks at Kroger's, and There was a disagreement between Tatiana and David, and she thought he said one thing, and he said something else, and I said, oh, that happened to me once, and I told them this story. Diane and I were in the van, and we were talking about something about the oil, and I said, well, I think it's in the owner's manual. We pulled into the garage, and I said, why don't you get out the owner's manual, that big fat thing? And Diane said, did you call me a big fat thing? And I said, no, you could get out the owner's manual, that big fat thing. You said, did say that. I said, yes, I did. Now, she wasn't angry. She was laughing, but we had a big laugh. And so I told David and Tatiana about that, and Tatiana said, that's going to be your name. And she called me big fat thing. That's my cup. She wrote on it, big fat thing. And the best part was, I would walk in and she would call me by name, big fat thing, in front of other customers. And you should have seen their faces. And they were like, you can't say that. So, yes, and develop a relationship with them. By stupid, you don't have to be as stupid as I am. You're smarter than I am. You can come up with better ways, but develop rapport with people through laughter. Go to the same places, time in and time out, and then you can make a difference. How much would this community change if we just did that? If each one of us, every day when we have interactions with people in the community, would lift, would be salt, would be light, and we lift a little bit, everybody we interact with, their day would go better after they saw us. Proverbs 25:11 says, one of my favorite proverbs, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Saying the right thing at the right time. That's a compliment. Give somebody that you interact with in the community a compliment. One time I was at Starbucks, well, multiple times, and there was one barista who would work the drive-thru. And I heard her time after time, Tiffany, good to see you. Do you want your usual? She had a loud voice. And everybody heard Leah working the drive-thru. And one time I was just leaving and Leah was on break and I just said, going by, I said, you really do a great job with your customers. I hear you interact with them. You know most of them by name. When they pull up, you call them by name. I said, that's really cool. That was all I said. That started a conversation as I would go in there. Eventually, she went through a really difficult season. She would come over when she's on break, and I was there. She said, can I talk to you? And we would talk, and then she'd come over, and she said, can I pray? Can you pray for me? And she's now moved away to Illinois, I believe. But it was an opportunity, simply starting a conversation with a compliment. You build a bridge that God can use in the future. And so, as you're at a place, look for a way that you can compliment somebody. I know Sandy went into a grocery store, and there was a tense situation, and she saw this cashier handle it beautifully with grace. And later on, she saw her and said, I remember that. That was great. That's what you do. Compliment. Something else you can do is questions. Ask questions. It's another tool in your toolbox. How are you? What's going on? Is everything okay? Just a couple of months ago, I was at a coffee shop and I said something to one of the baristas, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And they laughed and said, not here. And that started a conversation. And you know, it's an opportunity for me to now to pray for that person and what they're going through. Some of you that have been here for a while remember Chad and Angie. They moved to North Carolina a couple years ago. You know how that started? I would go into Anytime Fitness, and they were a trainer. And so I would go in there, and they would train me in how to work out and use the equipment. And so I had, I think, met with Chad normally once a week or twice a week, something like that. And after 7 months, you know, I got to know Chad, and we were talking back and forth. And so finally, after 7 months getting to know each other, I said to him, you know, he said something about church, and I said, so where do you go to church? And, you know, he said, well, we're looking for a church. And, well, what are you looking for in a church? And I told him about this church. And I said, the nice thing about this church is you already know the pastor. He said, I do? He said, yeah, you already know the pastor. How do I know the pastor? He comes in here. Well, Chad, you know, he was racking his brain. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. And then I told him I was the pastor, and then he came unglued. He was so excited. And they started attending here. It's just asking questions, allowing God to work through the things that we say. Another one is concern. I got to know the cashier at Martin's. She was there for years and years. And when I check out, and one time she said her sister had died. And I was like, oh, can I pray for you? And I prayed for her, and she came here for a while. It's just looking for an opportunity to connect with people, to notice something that's going on. I was getting a drink at the Martin's Starbucks, and there was a lady in front of me. I won't tell you where she worked because she had her name tag on. I knew where it was. And she asked for some seasonal drink, and they no longer served that drink. And that lady apparently had a very bad day and took that very bad day and dumped that very bad day on that little barista there and yelled at her, you never had the drink I wanted. And then I was next. And so what do I do? This is just a bad situation. How do I, you know, smooth things over? And so I just said, well, why don't you give me a list of things you don't have and I'll order one of those. And she laughed, and she needed it because she was very professional, but I know what it's like to get yelled at like that. And so, and she laughed, and we developed rapport, and I got to know her. Her husband was a youth pastor in North Manchester. And so look for opportunities to do that. There was a friend of mine who was a really messed up Vietnam vet in 1972. And he asked a 17-year-old girl for a light. And her response was, the only light I have is the light of the world. Completely changed that man's life. Begin to build a bridge. There's many, many ways to do that. Another one, you'll be surprised that I mentioned this. Another one is prayer. You know I got to talk about prayer. And this is something, some of you know Bill Crane. I learned this from Bill. When you're at a restaurant and they bring you your food, you simply say, hey, we're going to pray in a little bit. Is there some way we can pray for you? And I would say 90% of the time, it's awkward. I don't know, because they don't get that question a lot. And it's awkward. And we've experienced that. But I did that at one restaurant. And the waitress said, yeah, my back is killing me. So I said, well, pray for your back. And so when we prayed for her back. About a month and a half later, I went back, and she saw me, and she said, where have you been? My back has been killing me. And we were off to the races. I, on my phone, have a list of everybody in her family. And I pray for everybody in their family. She was talking at some family gathering, and one of her granddaughters said, well, is that guy? I'm that guy. Is that guy praying for me? Make sure my name is on his list too. And so I pray for her as well. And it's amazing the relationship that happens. Just recently, we started going to a different restaurant, and we asked, you know, the waitress there, how can we pray for you? And again, it was awkward. It was awkward. About the first four or five times, it was awkward. And sometimes we would forget. And then one morning she said, oh, you have to pray for this. And she started it, and she just went through. The owner of the restaurant was in an accident, and this is what happened, and please pray. That's how you build a bridge. And if you have other ways that you use, let me know and I can share those ways. But these are some that I'm aware of ways that you build a bridge. You can begin a bridge. But you don't want to begin a bridge unless you can finish the bridge. So here's how you can finish the bridge. Complete a bridge with, first of all, Scripture. How do you share the plan of salvation with somebody? Here's how, and we're going to walk through that. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. See, that's our situation. That's our situation. We're all in that situation together. And I'm going to go through a list of these, and that you can share these with people. And you may say, well, Pastor, I can't memorize all this stuff. Okay, but you can cheat. Here's how you cheat. At Romans 3:23, you write down John 3:3, the next verse. On your phone app, you can make a note. And so all you have to remember is the first one. And then when you go to the first one, you read that one, you hit your note, and it tells you the reference to the second one. You go to the second one, and you've got the reference there for the third one. And you just go through that. You'll look really smart. But you can cheat, or you can... There's a scripture guide that's available at the Welcome Center. Grab that on the way out. And this and more than that is on there, and you can do that. So Romans 3:23, that's our situation. John 3:3, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's our need. We need a brand new start. I was sharing this with a gentleman once, and he said, you need to be born again. And he said, yeah, but how are you born again? Which was the next part. It's like, here's how you're born again. Acts 17:30. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere. That's kind of universal, isn't it? Everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. Repent is what? It's an about face. It's heading in the opposite direction. So the need is to repent. And then John 3:36. Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. What's the word in that passage? Believe. Believe. You have to repent. You have to believe. 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. What is it? Confess. Yes, we confess our sins. Repent, believe, confess. And then John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who received him, John 1:12, we receive. And then Revelation 3:20, look, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. And that's invite. Invite Jesus in. That's one way you can share with somebody the plan of salvation. So that is at the scripture guide at the Welcome Center. Here's another one. You notice on your outline there's a rectangular box there with nothing in it. And that's for you to fill in this bridge illustration. You've seen this before. So, in the beginning, God created everything. It was God. He created us. And when he created us, what did Adam and Eve do? They sinned. And so now, there's a gulf between God and us. And we may try different things to get closer to God, but all those things, they don't get us across that gulf. We end up at the bottom, and what's at the bottom of that? Death. Death is at the bottom of that. The passage we read earlier, the wages of sin is death, but God was not satisfied with that situation, so he provided Jesus on the cross. And because that cross actually bridged the gulf between us and God. And when Jesus defeated death by rising again, he defeated death. And then he rose from the dead. And then we get to go across that gulf to the other side and have a relationship with God. Is that next one in there, Denny? There you go. So that is the bridge illustration. And there is a cheat guide that's at the Welcome Center. And you say, well, I didn't catch all of that. Grab this. In the email that goes out, there will be a link to those images. And you can load them on. I have those on my phone. And I can just go into an album on my phone and go and just go through those and swipe through those, and you can use that illustration that way. Here's a bottom line. You want a simpler version? This one is two words. Do and done. Every religion in the world, you can sum up with the word do. Do this and do that and do this and do this at this time and do this better than anybody else and do. And you end up with a bunch of doo-doo. That is actually biblical. The Apostle Paul in Philippians uses a word for excrement. All the righteous acts I've ever done, Paul says, are a steaming pile of excrement. It's doo-doo. Or Christianity is different. It's done. Jesus has done it for us, and our job is to accept what he's done and to live that out. There's another way, and that's a video.
We live in this world.
Watch.
And it's characterized by brokenness. We don't have to look very hard to see there are things like disease, disasters, wars. There's a lot of pain in this world, but this is not God's original design. God has a perfect design. And the way that we have gotten ourselves into brokenness is through something that the Bible calls sin. Sin is turning away from God's design and pursuing our own way, and that leads us to brokenness. Brokenness eventually leads us to death, and this death will separate us from God forever. But God doesn't want us to stay in brokenness, so he's made a way out, and that way is Jesus. Jesus comes and he enters into our brokenness, and the death that we deserve for pursuing brokenness, Jesus takes our place and dies on a cross, and his body is broken for us. And 3 days after he dies, he rose from the dead, and he made a way out of brokenness. And people try many things to get out of brokenness, things like religion, things like success or relationships, education or drugs and alcohol, but none of these things can get us out of brokenness. The only way out is Jesus. And if we turn from our sin and believe that Jesus died for us and rose from the dead, we can leave brokenness and grow in a relationship with God and pursue his design. And more than that, we can go. We can be sent just like Jesus back into brokenness to help others come through him to pursue God's design. Now, there's two types of people in the world. There are people that are pursuing God's design, and there's people that are still in brokenness. We have to ask ourselves, where are we? So where do you think you are?
That's a great tool. The QR code for that video is on your outline. You can use that. You can save that to your phone. Favorite that on your phone. That way, if you have an opportunity, say, listen, here, let's watch this video. And so those are options for you to build a bridge, to complete a bridge. And then we can change this community. One conversation at a time, one relationship at a time, we can change this community. Because you touch one person who touches someone else who touches someone else, and we have no idea the impact our simple act of obedience is. But I'm a follower of Jesus. I think it might be beneficial if you listen to an atheist for a minute. Could you do that for me? Here's an atheist.
At the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side, and he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it, but he said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane, I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. But this guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me.
Isn't that awesome? It's from an atheist. If you believe what you say you believe, how much do you have to hate somebody to not share it with them? That's why we're here. We've got all kinds of other activities going on in our lives. Sharing the good news with other people is why we're here. If that's not what we're supposed to do, as soon as we became a follower of Jesus, he would kill us and take us home. But if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And so my challenge for you is to see your life in a completely different way. To see your life as a letter God is sending to the world around us. Would you stand with me? I'm going to challenge those of you who are brave. This isn't for the chickens or the wimps. Those of you who are brave to pray this prayer, would you bow your heads, close your eyes, so you focus only on the Lord, and say, Lord, if you open a door, I will walk through it. Lord, give me the words I need to say in that moment. Lord, I want to make a difference. I am available for you. If you prayed that, God will give you an opportunity. But some of you might be here this morning, and as I'm talking about the plan of salvation, you may know it. But you may have never received it. So I want to give you that opportunity this morning. That you can pray this morning. Just between you and God, just pray this prayer. God, I need you because I'm a sinner. And my life is messed up. I repent. I turn my back on the way I've been living. I believe that you came to live and die for me. I admit, I confess that I'm a sinner. I now receive your gift of salvation. I invite you to come in, Jesus, to my life and be in charge from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are a child of God. And there's a connection card. I want you to tell me that you did that on the connection card now, because I want to pray for you. Father, thank you. You have given us good news. It's good news. It's good news. give us the courage to be used by you, to be obedient in the most interesting of situations. Help us to turn our eyes and our hearts to you and go, oh yeah, Jesus, can you redeem this situation? Thank you for what you're going to do in us and for what you're going to do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.